Hey there, it's JVL. On The Secret Show with Sarah Longwell today, we talked about the $100,000 Trump watch. It's amazing. We talked about other stuff too, but mostly we talked about the Trump watch. Here's the show. So did you go to the website?
Of course I didn't.
Oh my God. Do you know anything about the watches? The Trump watches.
I know that it is gold and costs $100,000.
Well, there are three levels of Trump watches.
Tell me more. Oh, the delight on your face. It makes me happy to see you this happy.
There are the plebeian model for the poors, which are $499 and which are not limited. They'll make as many of them as they can sell. Then there is the limited plebe model, which is $699 or $799. I forget. Hold on. Let me look it up. I've got the Trump website right here. And the limited plebe model is $799. There are only 1,000 of those. And then Sarah, there is the Tourbillon model. You of course know what a tourbillon movement is.
No, what, did you say Toblerone?
No, tourbillon. It's French for whirlwind.
Okay.
And it is a different kind of movement, and they say there are only 147 of these being made, but they are offered in three different versions. And so I believe what they mean are 147 of each version, meaning 441 of them. I think
is
that's
why is 147. That's a very specific number.
47 president, 47. He'll be number 47.
Really?
Right. He was 45.
Oh, 45. Yeah.
And then he'll be 47.
Okay.
And these watches, the Tourbillon, which are they call the model the Trump Victory, are $100,000. And it's amazing. And I have so many thoughts about this. Again, it's going to take you 40 minutes to read the triad today, because I've done a pretty detailed cost analysis on how much these things each cost to make. And you'll be surprised to know, not very much. But my favorite thing about it is that, again, this invalidates the entire Trump proposition. His entire electoral proposition is America is a hellscape. We've got the worst economy in the world. People are dying in the streets. If we have to go through another 4 years of this radical socialist inflation, we won't even have a country. Right? This is, I alone can fix the economy.
Yes.
Also, hey, people, I'm selling watches for $100,000. You want some? If people can afford $100,000 watches and then these $500, $799, $800, cheapy models, I'm sorry, the economy's doing okay, right? If the economy was terrible, he wouldn't be able to sell any of these watches at these unbelievably inflated prices.
Well, of course, the economy's different for every, different people experience this economy differently.
Sure.
But
he's the candidate of the forgotten man,
that's true.
Sarah.
This is the thing. And so I'm kind of interested in the cost analysis, but I'm more interested in what do you think this guy is doing right now with all this? Is he poor? Is this a last minute blitz to monetize his presidential ambitions in the face of a loss?
Like, no, it's much simpler than that.
Okay.
So somebody got a pipeline to him. So whoever it is who started with the NFTs, and it's the same group or group of individuals who do the NFTs and the sneakers and the watches.
Mm.
They just, like, they got in front of him somehow.
The coins. There's also the coins.
The coins, right. And they pitched him. They said, license us your name, image, and likeness. It'll take 1 hour of your time, and we will then give you a cut. We will make X number of dollars from this product, and your cut will be Y.
Mm-hmm.
And in the case of the crypto, he sold $4 million of them, like right away. I mean, he sold a lot of crypto, these NFTs. And the best part about the NFTs is that he continues to make money from them. Every time you, having bought one, sell yours on the secondary market, in that transaction, Trump gets paid again.
Mm.
So there's, and that will happen for forever and ever. So that is a river of income for him. And when he saw that it worked, then they came back to him and said, hey, we could do sneakers. It's a real sneaker thing for this. And that worked. And they came to him and said, we can do watches. And so if I am correct that there are actually three versions of 147 each, that's 441 watches, I think, selling for $100,000 each. That's $45 million in watches for, again, what is less than an hour of Trump's time. Like, mm-hmm. Trump's time is, he looks at the designs that they show him because, you know, if his name is on it, he doesn't. He wants to make sure that it's not, yeah, that it looks okay. He signs off on them, and then he tapes the 45-second stands up to camera pitch, which is on the front of the website. And that's it. He's done. And this thing just is a turnkey operation. And so I don't think he's not out there saying, how am I going to cash in? What am I going to do? Right? He's not coming up with these ideas for like, let's do watches. This third party has come to him with it. And they're just, you know, they've got access to him. And so they're just pitching, hey, let's do this. Let's do that. So the question becomes, what is his cut? And I think if his cut is anything below 80%, he's a fool. Because there is no business without him.
Right.
If he wanted to go and make a watch brand, he could do that this afternoon with anybody else. But these guys couldn't sell a single watch without him. And so he ought to be getting most of that money, I think.
Well, it's good he needs it because the stock. How's your DJT stock doing?
Oh man, you know what? I'm diamond hands on that. It's it's going all the way down. If he wins, he'll be okay. I think if he wins, he'll be okay. If he loses, I don't know. I mean, the way the deal is structured, he's not gonna lose money on it. But his I'm worth $7 billion thing from it, that's gone. But he could still walk away with like a billion. He could walk away with nine figures from this.
Mm.
Low nine figures, but he could get nine figures. And again, he didn't have to do anything.
Yeah.
Like there is no, there is no thing. So so I went through and I built one of these watches using AliExpress. Which is what the people who do this sort of thing use a website that sources parts from China called AliExpress. And with it, you can say, I want a stainless steel dive watch case. That'll be $4. I want an aluminum bezel for that. That's $1.50. I want a mineral glass crystal for it. That's 99 cents. This is the handset is $2, whatever. And so the plebe version of his watch, which sells for $499, costs at most $50
to make.
And almost all of that cost actually is in the one-time setup fee for machining the signature that gets applied to the dial.
Mm.
That's the lion's share of the cost. Mm. Everything else is unbelievably cheap. That's pretty good. You know, that's a 9X. 9X, pretty good margin
mm-hmm.
on that. And go ahead. I'm sorry.
Is Trump a good businessman after all?
I mean, he understands the value of his brand. I don't know if that makes him a good businessman or not. I mean, maybe it is, right? It's just a question of what do you believe business is, right? Is business about making money, or is business about like productive economic activity? Right. Jeff Bezos is an incredible businessman.
Right.
Like he revolutionized supply chain and built e-commerce in the world to a large extent. Trump has made money by calling into tabloids and pretending to be other people, talking about himself and making himself famous and then selling his name. He's made money from that. Is that business?
It is a kind of business. It's sort of like late stage capitalism.
Oh, thank you. Oh, I just wanted you to say it.
Yeah, that doesn't mean there's
slow
not,
clap.
That doesn't mean there's not regular stage capitalism business still. It just means that that is what late stage capitalism looks like. Mm. What Donald Trump's doing.
And when those oligarchs wind up amassing political power as well, what will we say about that? Mm.
I'm sorry, say that again.
When people like that, the people who get wealthy and doing late stage capitalism stuff, then start amassing oligarchical political power as well.
Well, that's
what do we think about that?
You mean the Trump presidency?
Yeah, that's right.
I mean, I think that's bad.
It's not great, Bob.
Yeah. I also think it's very bad that the American people think that this is what a good businessman looks like. I just hear it in the focus groups all the time. Like, Trump's a good businessman. We need a businessman running the country. And I'm like, guys, he's a crappy businessman. Do you know what business that he's good at? Like, this is the thing. What he's good at is getting, you guys are the marks. He's good at getting you guys to buy his garbage, whether that's his rhetorical garbage, his policy garbage, or his literal garbage watches and shoes and stuff. He's a lifestyle brand masquerading as a political party.
I mean,
and you guys are falling for it. That's what he's good at. He's good at taking you for fools.
Like, is Kylie Jenner a good businessman? Like, you see what I'm saying? Like,
I don't know.
Like, these are people who understand how to, whatever, any of the Jenners, right? Is Kris Jenner a businesswoman? Well, yes, in the sense that she's taken a brand and figured out how to extract money from it. But is that a business? Right? I don't think so. Not in a way that, you know, it is a thing that makes money, but a thing that makes money is not necessarily a business.
Hmm.
I don't know. I mean, call me old fashioned.
Well, it used to be that you would construct a product, right? And the product needed to be good so that you could build a brand as somebody who makes a good product. Now you take your brand and you map a product onto it, and that product can be super shitty as long as it's got the brand on it.
Yeah. This is the attention economy. This is, I don't know if you remember this. I wrote years ago about Red Bull. Do you know what Red Bull is?
It's what I drink when I need to write a term paper at 1 a.m.
Yeah, that.
Yeah.
Yeah, that stuff. So Red Bull is a fascinating company because Red Bull, which is ubiquitous, you see the ads everywhere and whatnot.
It gives you wings.
They don't actually make the Red Bull drink. Red Bull, the company, is simply a marketing operation, and they outsource the drink to this German juice manufacturer. And they don't give a shit like what they, again, they don't touch the actual thing that you drink and sip and put into your body. That is entirely, they're like, what the fuck? Do whatever you want to it. We don't touch that. All we do is make Red Bull famous so that people want to drink it. And that's now the world.
Mm.
You know, like that's instead of Red Bull being this weird outlier, that's kind of the world we live in. I mean, it's not all of it. There are still real companies out there, but a whole lot of it is just people figuring out how to be middlemen between things manufactured elsewhere and wealthy domestic audiences. And so like, if you and I wanted to start a watch brand, if we wanted to start Bulwark Watches, we could go to AliExpress and we could just type in micro brand watches and we would get 100 results from people in China who would work with us and say, yeah, just tell us what color dial you want and what you want the, what color the bezel is going to be and send us what you want your Bulwark logo to be that we pop on it. And we'll ship you these things for $60 a piece.
Oh, why don't we sell Bulwark watches?
Because they would be Chinese shit. They wouldn't be real watch. Do you know what I mean? Like, this is... Do you see what I'm saying? Like, there are...
Yeah, I see what you're saying.
Like, they aren't good. But you can do it. And if you're... If the marks you're selling to are stupid enough... Not that I'm passing... value judgment on people who would pay $100,000 for a Trump watch. It's here's something else. Do you know that this is actually the second time Trump has sold watches?
No.
Yeah. Yeah. Back in 2005, he launched a Trump signature collection.
He had a trench coat that he would open up on Fifth Avenue and...
No. Even better. They were sold at Macy's.
Ah.
These things went for about $250 a piece.
Mm-hmm.
And now, following the announcement yesterday, if you go onto eBay, the people who were reselling these old Trump watches, which, again, were originally sold for like $250, and so on the secondary market were worth like $100. After the rise of the Trump watch yesterday, these things are now being... The asking price is like $10,000.
Oh, my God.
For a 19-year-old Macy's watch. Because, again, they just see blood in the water. Like, oh, more marks. More marks are coming to eBay looking for Trump stuff. And the contempt that these people have for Trump supporters.
Mm-hmm.
Man. I don't know. How did... Here's a very real question. Do you ever get the sense that there's a certain kind of conservative who has absolute rabbit ears for any slight or disparagement that they perceive against them? Like, oh, they called us deplorables, you know, or, you know, like yeah, they sure. Just, you know, anything that they read as elite condescension.
Right.
And yet they are utterly incapable of seeing the total contempt that Trump and the Trump grifter class hold them in. Why is that? Why can't they see that?
Because one of the other things Trump does, he doesn't do this for like your regular voters, but for the elites who defend him, when he sees them defending them on TV, he calls them up and pats them on the head. This is where I'll never forget Eric Erickson, who we talked about before, telling the story of Trump calling him to ask him for his endorsement. And like, it was a big, and you know, he flatters people. Like, this is where Trump has always been sort of good, right? He calls people up and flatters them and tells them they're doing a great job. And everybody, I think, this is why there's like a warm glow he takes you into when he's being nice to you. But then when you cross him or you say anything, whatever, then he tosses you out in the cold. You are summarily defenestrated from anything with him, because this is why dictators have such an easy time with Trump. Because if you flatter Trump, if you say nice things about Trump, Trump will flatter you back and say nice things about you. And it's his whole MO. And so this is how he's able, I think, to continue to get people is like, and this is, I mean, it is a, he is a good politician in this way, which is he calls people up all the time, right? He just sits there on the phone and calls everybody up and chats with them for 5 minutes, trades gossip, because he's used to doing that as a business guy. Anyway, I think that's what it is.
I was in the room when he called Bill. Did I ever tell you that? in 2015. Yeah, in 2015, we're at the Standard and we're at an editorial meeting on Monday and Bill's phone rings and he just like, I think it came up as Trump and he was like, huh? And it was Trump and he was like sitting on the tarmac in his plane and was trying to get Bill on board. And, mm-hmm. you know, we can all hear him in the background. He's like, oh, yeah, you know, come on, Bill. We're going to get you. You're going to be on board with us. It's going to be great. And Bill was like, eh, you know, I couldn't get off the phone fast enough. And it was like the whole thing was 90 seconds. But it was exactly that. It was glad handing, trying to butter Bill up and get him on the team.
Yeah.
And you can see why, I guess, it works for some people.
Mm-hmm.
God, these people are the worst. My utter contempt for somebody who would pay $100,000 for this Trump watch is
boundless.
It is boundless. And here's the other, like, Trump himself is a watch guy. Like, not a serious watch guy, but a watch in the way that, like, some rich people are, where they know, like, oh, I'm a rich person, so I'm supposed to have a fancy watch. Mm. So he has three watches, and they are actually of much better taste than you would think. One is a gold Rolex Day-Date President. One is a Patek Philippe, but a very subtle Patek Philippe. It's not like the Nautilus. And the other is a Vacheron Constantin from the 60s. It's kind of a cool square case. They're all very low-key. None of them, the most expensive of these is $40,000.
For a watch?
Yeah. Yeah.
My God.
But here's what I'm saying. Like, Trump's own collection of, like, I'm a fancy pants rich person, he would never spend $100,000, let alone $100,000 on one of these Chinese pieces of shit. You know? Like, he understands that if you have $40,000 spent on a watch, you buy a gold Rolex.
Here's my question for you.
Yeah.
What do you think the Republican media apparatus would do if Kamala Harris decided to start selling, I don't know, coins, like, not campaign. Like, it's sort of one thing to be like, get your Harris Walls hat or your yard sign. But, like, she just was, like, out, like, just the full-on grift of it. It really does blow my mind the way Republicans are just like, yeah, he's doing NFTs and he's out there selling gold coins that you'd see on Wheel of Fortune.
Can you imagine the Wall Street Journal editorials?
No. I mean, yes. No, I can imagine them, actually. And it's just the way everybody just ignores it. Like, this isn't the most weird thing in the world to do. It's so weird.
Trump's people are weird. This is, I don't know if you have this. Again, I live in a world where, you know, Trump flags are everywhere. And I, you know, like, I drive past houses every day which have 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 Trump lawn signs / flags everywhere. My thought is that anybody who is that into anything is fucking weird. Whatever that thing is, if you were a New York Yankees fan and you had 7 Yankees things hanging outside your house, like, that would be weird and creepy and would suggest to me that there's something wrong with you.
Yeah, like, if you just, like, talk about watches all the time and collect all these watches and know everything about it, it's such a strange,
I don't put signs in my front yard about it, though. That's the thing. It's the weird, like, broadcasting to strangers about it. And what gets me is that the normie Republicans don't seem to have
the strangers right now. Sorry, go ahead.
No, they're not strangers. They're our family, Sarah. What gets me is this. Normie Republican voters don't look around at these insane mouth breathers all around them and feel any repulsion. And that is what I don't understand, right?
Understand the inverse. I don't understand why these voters aren't repulsed.
Think of it this way. So
condescending to them and treating them like marks.
So let's say that I am a normie you know, country club type Republican, and I go into Starbucks and the girl, Ashante, behind the counter has a nose ring and her pronouns are on her name tag. And I get like huffy about that. I don't like that because that's bad. But then they see, you know, mouth breather Cletus von Ivermectin with his 15 Trump signs and his bumper nuts and the picture of Joe Biden hogtied in the back of the game. And there's no revulsion about that. There's no like, ugh, oh, geez, I can't believe I'm on the same side as him.
No, you know what?
Why
there
isn't
is?
That? Why don't they is? Feel that?
Because they feel something different.
What is it?
They feel scared of that person. They feel like they've got to do what that person says, right? Because that person is the kind of like Trump. What's the inverse of a Manchurian candidate when they're like Manchurian voters, where like Trump talks and they will all do what he says?
Brown shirts.
Sure. They're
brown shirts.
So, yeah, they're scared of those voters because the intensity freaks should.
That intensity
freak them
ought
out.
To freak everybody out. Yeah. It's not normal. It's weird. Every time that manifests in American politics, it's bad. It's never once been good.
We've talked about this a little bit, but one of the things that's funny about Trump signs is not the volume of Trump signs that one sees. It's the size of Trump signs one sees. When I was out in Virginia, you don't see like millions of Trump signs, but the ones you do see are like the whole side of a house, or they're just even like, it's like there'll be a little Harris Walz sign and then this just like, I don't even know what the footage would be, but like 10 feet by 10 feet, you know, signs for Trump Vance. And it's just, they've all got to be so big.
I drove past a house yesterday. We're now just like on Trump sign talk. It was this enormous property in an incredibly wealthy New Jersey town. I'm not going to say where. But the kind of place where this property is probably 15 mil.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, enormous house with horses and
in New Jersey,
but not out in the country.
$15 million?
Yeah.
Okay. Sure.
What are you talking about? New Jersey's a... Anyway, just beautiful, right? And this is in a super ritzy town, whatever. And their entire, like, road-facing posts, fence posts, are adorned with, like, a series of American flags and Trump signs along their entire frontage, one of which was Trump was right about everything. And as I drove past, I thought to myself, hold on, everything?
Everything?
Literally everything? He was right about the bleach. He was right about the virus just going away. He about everything? Like, and again, this isn't a person in a trailer who has been beaten down by life and so might be desperate to, you know, to hold on to something because the system has really treated them so badly. This is a person who has won the fucking lottery.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, yeah, Trump was right about everything. Brother, I can't help you. All right, Sarah, good show. Long show. Anything before we get out of here?
No, we'll talk next week. We will be... We didn't really talk about the debate much, but I would say the upcoming, we talked about it on the Next Level. So if you want our debate talk, go listen to it. But the one thing we didn't really talk about is sort of, we assessed the two's capabilities and our fears about them. But we didn't talk about what happens, like if Walz gets smoked or if Walz does the smoking, right? What do you think if J.D. Vance goes down, does that up the chances that Trump has to debate again, or does it decrease the chances that Trump has to debate again?
Hey again, it's JVL. The conversation goes on from there. If you want to hear the rest of the show, head on over to Bulwark Plus and subscribe. We'd love to have you.